show, for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors Radio program.
It's time to listen, laugh, and learn once again. Welcome back to the Data Doctors Radio Program, the multi-award-winning tech show for non-tech people.
Each and every week, we help thousands of people and their broken computers in our stores, in their offices, in homes all across the country. Then we package that experience up, put a nice bow on it, bring it to the radio to help all of you.
We are the Data Doctors du jour, Ken and Spanky, here to provide you education and entertainment that we like to call
edutainment. Exposed. What happened at Bashes? And how can you protect yourself in the future?
Also, it's the start of the tax season. Ask yourself this: is my computer safe enough to start doing my taxes? We'll tell you if it is.
And we got our hands on the pre-release version of the Microsoft Surface Pro tablet. Is it for you? We'll let you know.
On air.
Online.
On demand.
DataDoctors.com.
DataDoctors.com/radio.
Listen live.
Download podcasts.
And get helpful links.
DataDoctors.com.
DataDoctors.com/radio.
24/7, 365, when you have a tech question, where should you ask it?
Facebook.com/DataDoctors.
Like Robert did.
Robert.
Yeah, go ahead.
He said, I used my debit card at Bashes, you know, where you have a friend, where their computer system had also been hacked. Should I put a stop to my debit card and get a new one?
So, yeah, probably the biggest story last week.
Oh, yeah. Here locally, in Phoenix, absolutely. Biggest story in town, bar none.
For those of you that don't know the details, and I'm not sure why you wouldn't at this point.
Or for those of you who don't listen in our Phoenix area, Bashes is a local grocery store chain, large chain.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, great store. But they had a problem, and there was some malware that got into their system.
Well, actually, let's roll back.
Let's roll back.
They were alerted by authorities that it seems that a large number of people that have had fraudulent transactions on their credit cards all over the world. The commonality is that they were all customers and had used their card at Bashes, causing Bashes to kind of look into their systems, and they reported that they did discover some hidden malware that apparently was stealing credit card information and what have you. So, again, these were not people that were using their credit cards or debit cards online. They were actually going into the store and running them.
Swiping through the machine.
Somewhere in the system where all of that information gets transposed, whatever. This malware supposedly got in to intercept that, make copies, and hackers had a bunch of credit card numbers.
Right, but before we dig into that story, let's go back to Robert's question. And Robert wanted to know if he should cancel his credit card or his debit card and get a new one. Well, first of all, Robert, let's start with something very simple. Any purchase like this in a store, we recommend using your credit card and not your debit card for a couple of reasons. Number one, if your debit card is compromised, it could tie up your money in your bank account for a while the bank is trying to figure things out.
Can I give you an example?
Sure.
One of our customers in the last week or so fell for the FBI ransom virus.
Uh-huh.
Gave the hackers his debit card to basically unransom his computer.
Sure.
Because he believed it was a legitimate thing. They took $7,000 because once they have the card number and the information, mm-hmm. they can basically just run it. And they're not going to run it for what they said the ransom was. They're going to run it for as much as they can. Basically took $7,000 out of the account, which obviously, if that's an operating account, you're paying your mortgage, you're paying all these bills.
Oh,
you got all, you know, you're, it's not that you can't go back to the bank and say, hey, that was a fraudulent transaction.
Right. It's all unwindable. It's all fixable. The problem is, in the meantime, while you're trying to get it fixed, you're bouncing checks. You can't make your mortgage payment, your car payment, all these problems because you chose to use your debit card.
And we've always said, when you're making online purchases, always use a credit card for that particular reason.
You know, Dave Ramsey would hammer us for this.
I know that. But now, with the security issue that's been exposed, look what happened. People that were using debit cards, credit cards in the stores, right? They're now exposed to that same problem. So I actually don't ever use my debit card for any transaction with anyone anymore. The only thing I use my debit card for is for ATM withdrawals.
I use mine to bust into offices when I forget my key.
Well, that's the other thing we do.
It's got some value.
On the weekends, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's twofold. One, the credit card points systems, right? There's that kind of cool thing that can happen if you make sure that you pay your your credit card bill every month. But more importantly, you have a better another layer of protection should there be fraudulent transactions on your card.
So let's jump back now to the Bash's story. Ken, you know, they were saying that it was some new form of malware, something that they'd never seen before.
And it was hiding on their network for they don't know how long.
Right. So how does this, something like this, get into a big corporate system? How does it hide for so long? How does it not get detected? And how does it suddenly rear its ugly head in the way it did?
They've not, you know, given us the blow-by-blow and the exact details of what happened. But I am absolutely certain that the cause of this exploitation was human. No, I mean, I'm saying it was human error on the side of the corporate network.
Okay.
Meaning someone within the organization was tricked into clicking on something that they shouldn't, right? Or the BYOD issue that's starting to rear its head with a lot of companies, when that is bring your own device, meaning an employee can have a laptop that they use at home and at the office. On the weekend, they're surfing around at home. They click on something
porn
that they shouldn't. Forget porn.
That's
completely misguided because that's actually not where most people get infected, because most people don't actually, you know, regularly visit that stuff. Because, you know, you'd be able to tell the only people coming in our stores with viruses
not
would be...
Not that they tell you.
Well, regardless. You're going to have a much better chance of infecting the masses if you go a different direction, which is the legitimate stuff that people are usually searching around for. So any number of tricks to get you to click on something via Facebook, via email, via text message, whatever, they're trying to get you to fall for something generally through what's called social engineering. So they're going to misdirect you like... Yeah, the one that was very common years ago and still is around today is you'll get an email saying, oh, my goodness, I can't believe you got caught doing this on video.
Right.
And you're going,
what did I do?
And so there's a link to it. When you click on the link, it looks like a YouTube or a Facebook post. It looks like a legitimate post. When you go to play the video, it says you need to update your video player. And as soon as you click on that, what looks like the flash update,
you're hosed.
They got you. So you got to be really, really paranoid about everything you click on. With or without the best security, it doesn't matter. If you click on it, they got you.
Still ahead, you tell it to go here, but it goes there. What's wrong with your web browser?
But right after the break, it's Christmas for hackers. We'll tell you about why they love tax season here on the Data Doctors Radio program.
Here we go again. The Department of Homeland Security is warning us about another major vulnerability. This time, they want you to turn off UPnP, Universal Plug and Play.
So, how do you do it? And how will it impact your computer usage? These questions can only be answered by someone that understands your computer and how you use it.
You need someone you can trust to help you navigate all these ongoing security problems. If you don't have someone you can trust, let Data Doctors help you.
Bring your computer into Data Doctors, and we can do a free computer security checkup while you wait. And if everything looks good, we can install a program that allows you to turn UPnP on and off at will.
If you haven't had your computer checked out in a while, it's time. The ability for bad guys to silently control your computer is greater than ever, and they're counting on you to do nothing.
Don't let the bad guys win. Bring your computer into Data Doctors now for that free computer security checkup and get peace of mind. Find the Data Doctors location nearest you. Go to datadoctors.com and schedule your free computer security checkup today.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you like the sound of our voices and you want to hear us after April 1st, you need to head over to datadoctors.com/radio now. Do it this instant. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. The Data Doctors radio program is growing its digital footprint. We're moving off the radio. Again, we've only got 8 more weeks, including this one. So get her done.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
The tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Merry tax hack.
Merry Taxmas?
Tax hackmas.
Well, it is that time of year. You know,
Christmas for hackers.
You've seen your W-2s show up. You've started to gather all of your data for your tax filing, for your accountant, and you got all these papers and receipts and bills and... And now before you actually start doing your tax return, you actually have to start putting stuff into your computer. And you have to start working on calculations, and you have to know what you're doing. But before you fire up your computer to do your taxes, you need to ask yourself a question. Self, is my computer safe to do my taxes?
So Bash's, big company, lots of smart people, lots of smart IT people, were basically exploited with this hidden piece of malware. So how common is that? Very common. In fact, you listening are much more likely to contract this hidden malware than a big company like Bash's. Big, you know, Bash's basically was hit. That should be a wake-up call to you that this is not something to be taken lightly. This is something that you have no idea you have this. And it's not just for people that are going to actually do their own taxes online. Those of you that prepare your information for your CPA, you're typing a lot of really sensitive stuff.
Yep.
And if they can sneak in with what's called a keylogger, they got you. They're basically getting a transcript of everything you typed that day.
And I know you right over there, you're sitting there with this smirk on your face, this smile, because you said, oh, I got antivirus. Well, of course you've got antivirus, and that's great. But think of antivirus as a seatbelt. It's there to keep you safe, but you still can't drive recklessly. So you have to be a safe driver, and you got to watch out for the other guys on the road.
But the two most common things around antivirus we see in our stores almost every day is that they knew that the antivirus had expired.
Right.
And they were going to get around to it.
Right.
And just didn't.
Someday I'll take care of it.
On average, it's 3 to 6 months old, right? It's expired three. They are finding a couple hundred new versions of malware every single week. So if you go 3 months, do the math. You're exposed to thousands of new exploits that you're no longer protected against. The other behavior that we see is just what you said. I've got antivirus. I'm safe.
I'm impervious to this problem.
I can drive a 500 miles an hour and go right into that brick wall, and my seatbelt will save me.
Exactly. And that ain't going to happen.
No, it will not.
Your car will crush and you will be dead. And, you know, so think about that. Just, you know, use that analogy when you're surfing the web. You've got to be safe. You know, you got to think about, wait a second, before I do this, don't just click through everything and just, oh, I'm fine, you know.
Yeah, my antivirus program will warn me when there's something malicious.
Right.
Which it will do in 80, 90, 95% of the time.
Now, I know, Ken, earlier you said, you know, that's not the biggest area, but I want to touch upon this area for a second. You know, we're not here to judge, okay? So we're not passing judgment on anybody. But if you're using your computer for online porn, watching online porn, it's probably not the computer you want to do your taxes on. Lots of these sites, especially the free ones, open you up to potential threats.
Well, let's put porn aside.
Okay.
Porn is just one of
many
categories.
Sure.
Gambling. Those of you trying to find hack codes to bypass having to pay for a product. Those of you that participate in exchanging files, the file exchanging services, basically, where you can try to get things for free. When you know you're doing shady things, right? You're using the internet to do shady things. They know you're going to click on everything because you think you're going to get something for free. Any of those sites, and especially you households that have teenagers, mom and dad, if you don't understand the kind of behavior your kids are engaging in on the computer that you're about to do your taxes on, hello.
Yeah.
Wake up call. So if you have high-speed internet and you have kids in your house, especially teenagers, and they share the computer that you're going to be doing your taxes on, do not even begin to type until you do some checking.
Now, let's talk about something else that's pretty innocent. How many times have you gotten a file from someone? You know, a buddy of yours or a friend or a coworker hands you a thumb drive. You grab the file, and now you've just given yourself a nasty virus. You know, think about this. Go back in time a little bit and think about how many other computers has that thumb drive been in?
Ew.
It's like, you know, you think about it, it's got a history. And every computer before your computer, that thing has been infected by.
Maybe.
Potentially. So again, we're talking about some of the behaviors that lead to, you know, infections and malware and things on your computer that would make it less than adequate to do your taxes. You don't want to play around with this stuff.
Yeah, and again, the spoofing of emails, very common way to get tricked. You get an email from somebody you know, and you believe that they sent you this information, even though the grammar in the email is kind of weird, you can tell that there's something strange about this, but it looks like it came from your friend. And you go, oh, they must have been,
yeah, they must have been drinking.
that a lot of the people that perpetrate these spoofed email campaigns where they look like they're taking over somebody's email account, they're not U.S. citizens. They are people in foreign countries, which is why the tip-off generally on these scams is there's this weird dialect, weird grammar. There's all of these things that you're going, this is not normal.
Lost in translation.
For this person.
Right.
Now, this is not how this person normally communicates with me on email. So don't take it at face value that person actually sent you that. If you see something that looks like it came from a friend and you're not sure, do not ever click on it. Send an email. Don't reply to this message either.
Right. Just send an email.
Send a fresh email saying, did you just send me an email about such and such? And if they go, what the heck are you talking about? You're going to go, bing,
and
got it.
And finally, Ken, you know, there are those pop-ups. A lot of people, pop-ups are, you know, you see them all the time. You know, you go to a website and there's this, boom, this pop-up in your face. Clicking on those can burn you too. Don't be tempted to click on the red X. Lots of them simply fool you into thinking you're closing it, and they just got you.
So what do you do?
You have to escape. You know what? We've got a video for that.
When you get a pop-up and you want to make sure you don't click on anything bad, check out the
video. We'll put a link, datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey, if you like all the tips and warnings and tricks and all the how-tos that we give on the radio show, it doesn't have to end here with the show. We can deliver all of this goodness absolutely free to your inbox. Just subscribe to our weekly newsletter at datadoctors.com/radio. Just look for the newsletter box and give us your email address. You know the trick there. And if you're a business owner, check out our monthly Biz Tech newsletter as well.
It's the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Got a tech question? Get an answer in English.
Ask us now at facebook.com/datadoctors.
As Wendy did, and you can too anytime you have a question. Wendy said, I use Yahoo, Gmail, sometimes Hotmail. I also use Facebook and Twitter occasionally, and I might get into LinkedIn and Pinterest. Wendy, you sound like me. I run a home-based business, and I have lots of documents and training manuals on my MacBook. What's the best use of Backupify? Huh? The Google one or the personal apps? Or do I need both? Oh, I guess what she's asking us is, should she be backing up on Backupify using and backing up her Google Docs on Backupify? I think that's what I'm rereading into the question.
Well, but she's saying she's got documents on her personal computer. So let's, first of all, for those of you that don't know about Backupify is a backup system for cloud accounts, not for your personal computer.
Yeah, that's totally different.
So basically, Google Docs, you want to back up your Facebook account, your Twitter accounts, basically anything that is cloud-based that you normally have to go to the internet to be able to get the information. You can back that up with Backupify.
Now, for your MacBook, you know, yeah, you have a local copy, but you also want to have an offsite copy. We like to talk about Carbonite. Carbonite's a great online backup. It'll keep a copy of whatever you have locally. Now, I'm going to tell you, though, Wendy, when you do your first backup, depending on how big your document file is or the folder that you're backing up, it could take days. It could take weeks.
You're talking about for any kind of an online backup.
Online backup.
So the other thing that you can think about is if you're using Gmail, then you can automatically use the Google Drive, right, which is an online, it's like a cloud-based hard drive that's sitting out there.
Correct.
Either was it 5 gigabytes of space or 2 gigabytes? Some enormous amount of space that's free. So you can just drag, you can install the Google Drive app on your MacBook and then just drag files to the Google Drive. Right? So that you're basically putting that into the cloud. And then if you have a Backupify account, you then have a third copy of it through Backupify.
Right. Now, Wendy, I've done that on my MacBook. I actually use a MacBook. In fact, while I'm sitting here doing the show with Ken, I have my MacBook in front of me, and I use the Google Drive app. And one of the things that I love about it is it's fast and it's seamless, because as soon as you drop it onto the, let's just call it the Google Cloud, You can go back to doing what you're doing, and it doesn't really slow down your system. You don't notice any performance issues, and over time, it moves that document over there for you. And, very nice system.
And as to the question of which account to use, Backupify does a trial account. You can do a trial account. You need to figure out how much space and storage and how many things you really care about that need to be backed up. You know, I don't know that unless, you know, if your Facebook page is a business page, you might want to back it up. If it's a personal page, you know, is it that important? Your Google Docs, though, just in case, you just never know. I mean, we've seen outages from all kinds of big, big companies. Amazon, Google's had outages for you know, various things. So if you start living in the cloud, having it backed up on something like Backupify gives you an out when there is a problem with your primary cloud provider. So
not that that will ever happen, Wendy.
Count on it happening at some point.
And since Facebook.com/DataDoctors is the place for you to ask your questions, we got a lot of questions this week. Gerald hit us up and he said, my Firefox browser randomly tries to redirect me to other websites when I click on a search result link. I haven't noticed it with any other browser. Where would I look for the problem? Virus and adware scans come up clean. Any suggestions?
Yeah, you anytime your browser gets hijacked, it's not necessarily going to show up in those programs. There's so many different ways for them to kind of get that redirection. And the redirection could be just you were installing a piece of software. You did the next, I agree. And you said, go ahead and put this stuff in, which basically changes your default search engine.
Gives them permission.
Right. So that's the redirect. So it's not really a virus. It's basically something you agreed to that's a program. Now, whether it's considered adware or not, it depends on which one it is and what have you. So you can go in and basically restart your Firefox browser in safe mode. And if everything works good, then you know for sure it's one of the add-ons, something that's been in there. You can go into your add-ons, look at the list of things that have been added to your browser, and delete the ones you don't care about or the ones you don't even recognize. Because those are the ones that probably snuck in.
Yeah, those are the ones you go, hey, wait a second, what is this? Yeah, and you know, if you've clicked on a few of these things, you might be experiencing this, too, on your browser. And I have a friend who just recently I helped him clean out. If you're the area that you're actually looking at content on your web page, if it's halfway down the screen because there are all these bars and toolbars and stuff, you've clicked on so many things that you're bloated with toolbars. It takes up half your screen. You need to go in there and just start blowing those things out because they're all useless.
Well, no, you need to go to your add and remove programs and just basically remove those.
Remove.
Uninstall that stuff because that all snuck in from programs that you weren't paying attention to. By the way, if you don't know how to get to safe mode in your browser, not just Firefox, we've got a column that we wrote a while back on how to troubleshoot browsers for this type of problem and the step-by-step for each of the major browsers. So check that out at datadoctors.com/radio.
And, you know, the other thing that brings us to, and Gerald, very important, and you actually said it, and we need to acknowledge it. You haven't noticed it in any other browsers. Can we golf clap for Gerald?
He
listens to us. You must have extra browsers. Don't have one, have two. That way, if a website doesn't work, is it your computer? Is it the browser? Is it the website? Switch browsers, you'll find out easily.
Bada bing. Coming up, tax time is Christmas for hackers. So what are some of the symptoms of an infected computer?
Also, the Surface Pro tablet. Earlier in the week, we checked one out. Should you go buy one today? It's coming up on the Data Doctors radio program. Hey, it's the Data Doctors.
Hey, lots of you come to our stores when you have computer problems.
Many of you rely on our award-winning Data Doctors in-home service, where our Data Doctor comes to you. Yeah, house calls.
Some of you take advantage of Data Doctors remote repair, so we fix your problem right over the internet.
But did you know that we can help your office, too?
That's right. Whether your office has 20 or 200 computers, Data Doctors Business Services takes the pain of managing your office technology away.
Instead of using the Band-Aid approach to your office technology, put the experience of Data Doctors Business Services team to work for you.
You'll be amazed at how much more you can get done when you're not trying to run a business and your IT department.
Go to datadoctors.com and let us take away the pain.
In store.
At home.
Over the internet.
In your office.
What are you waiting for? Go to datadoctors.com right now.
Like he said, go to datadoctors.com and get ready to experience award-winning service.
Data Doctors. Since 1988, we're the tech guys for non-tech people.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Quick programming reminder, the Data Doctors radio program is packing up and as Billy Joel would say, moving out. Thank you. You going to sing with me?
No.
On April 1st, we're going all digital. That means the station you're hearing us on right now, we won't be there. If you're not connected with the digital version of the show yet, you should be. Go to datadoctors.com/radio. Subscribe to our digital goodness now.
They're Trekkies and they're techies.
We are neither.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Earlier in the program, we told you some of the behaviors that lead to infections in your computer. As tax season begins, we want to get you all geared up for this because it's so important. You need to know if your computer is safe to start your taxes.
Start your preparing your tax return. Basically, you're going to be typing in Social Security number, your address, your date of birth,
your wife's name,
your kids' names. If a remote hacker has somehow managed to sneak into your computer, and by the way, they don't announce their arrival and haven't for about 10 years.
Yeah, they used to. When they would get you, they used to go, ha ha!
Gotcha. You would get something that says, now, the gotcha scams today are ransom-based, which we can talk about later.
Yeah, we're going to hit those later.
Those guys will pop up and go, hey, we got you, and if you want us to unget you, pay us money.
Sure.
Most of the malware, especially the ones that are going to try to sneak into your computer this time of year, are going to incorporate something called keylogging, basically, so that they can put a little agent that runs in the background of your computer.
Very small agent.
Silent, invisible agent that is basically sitting back and creating transcriptions of every single keystroke you type and compiles that up and sends it off to the remote hacker in Bulgaria, the Philippines, China, Upper Volta, wherever they are.
So let me paint a quick picture for you. If you bank with Bank of America and you were to type in bofa.com, and then right after that, there's a couple of clicks, and then all of a sudden, they're seeing a username go in. And then they're seeing a password go in. They can put two and two together very quickly.
Oh, no, because they have automated tools that just parse that stuff
out.
It's
easy.
Oh, yeah. Once they have those transcripts. I tell you what, the other one, just in general, not during tax season, but in general, is if they can get the information for your email account, right? We say this over and over again. Your email is the thing you should guard the most. Smartphones, tablets, computers, it doesn't matter. Because if I get in control of your email account, I can look through to say, okay, you obviously bank with Wells Fargo. I go to the Wells Fargo account or website, say, hey, I forgot my password. Please send me a reset.
And they do.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Your email.
They're in 30 seconds.
So what are some of the symptoms of, you know, a computer that might be a little mucked up?
Well, the one that's most common, and again, these symptoms we're going to talk about don't necessarily mean you absolutely have malware. It just means you should probably have someone that you trust take a look at your machine to make sure you don't have something malicious kind of hiding in the background. The first is your computer takes forever to start up. Mm. When that happens, that means a lot of things, a lot of processes are loading automatically in the background. Okay? So that's the first indication. Two, every time you shut down now, it takes forever to shut down. Now, that could be because you did a lot of stuff and it's doing some housekeeping, or it could be that a bunch of processes that are phoning home in the background have to shut down,
right?
Which is why it takes so much longer.
But if you wake up in the morning and you go into your office and your computer is still shutting down from the night before, you probably need to get that checked out because something's wrong. It shouldn't take that long.
Another little indication that there might be, what's going on here? You have indicators on your internet services, your routers, your cable modem. You also have a little light that flashes whenever the hard drive on your computer is being accessed. If you're sitting there doing nothing and you see all kinds of activity pretty much throughout the day, there seems to always be something going on with all these lights and you're actually not doing it. You didn't even open a browser and you see all this activity going on. Again, does not necessarily mean you have malware. It could just mean that you have a bunch of stuff running in the background that you inadvertently allowed in there, which is another reason to have it looked at anyway, because you get rid of this stuff and your computer runs faster. But that's another quick indicator. You don't have to be a big high-tech person to figure that one out. It's like all this activity is going on and I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. Also, if you're surfing the web You know, if the internet seems a little slow to you today, is it the internet or is it your computer? You know, sites could be loading slowly because, you know, once in a while there's going to be a problem with a website or, but if you're seeing consistent problems with every site you go to seems to take forever to load, or you get partial loads on this site and you've tried it on another browser and you're getting the same result, again, those are symptoms to look for.
Well, obviously you'd want to get that fixed anyway.
Right, because that would drive you nuts.
Yeah, so but the don't ignore these symptoms. For some reason, with our computers, if we treated our cars the way we treat our computers, my goodness, the expensive repair bills you'd have.
There would be dead cars all over the road.
Well, think about it. If you drove your car until it died, or until it basically wouldn't go any further, that's going to be expensive.
Sure.
If you call your mechanic and go, "Oh, Joe, I'm getting this crazy vibration," and he says, "Bring it in so I can take a look at it," and you do, and he finds what the problem is and basically avoids this massive breakdown.
Sure.
Especially in the middle of the summer in Phoenix on the side of the highway and you got no water.
Not good.
That's a nice puppy dog.
Finally, thank you. If your computer is freezing and crashing a lot, that is one of the big symptoms to look for. If you are doing work and all of a sudden it just vapor locks on you, and you know what I'm talking about, you have to do the three-finger salute and restart it, why on earth would you try to get your taxes done on that computer?
Well, I mean, one, you could lose information.
You know, can you imagine?
As you're creating information, not just your taxes, anything you do. Obviously, it's going to be irritating. And again, that's not necessarily an indication that you have a problem. Certainly could be. You know, things like botnets and things can basically wreak havoc on the operating system. So if the bottom line is your computer's screaming at you, "I need somebody to look at me." Don't ignore that, especially this time of year.
Hey, you're listening to The Tech Show for non-tech people, the Data Doctors radio program. We invite you to ask your tech questions even when we're not on the air. Facebook.com/Data Doctors. Remember, we deal with computers and technology problems for a living. We're experts at this stuff. We can help you in our stores, in your home, at your business. We can even remote in right over the internet to help you fix your problems.
Hey, if you like the program, let your friends around the country know they too can listen, laugh, and learn with the Data Doctors. We're now heard worldwide on Stitcher Radio.
And if you miss any of the links or any of the info we gave you the past hour, find it all, datadoctors.com/radio.
Hour number two, just ahead.
Sit tight.
Get all your tech answers in English at datadoctors.com/radio.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
It is time once again to listen, laugh, and learn. Welcome back to the Data Doctors radio program, the multi-award-winning tech show for you non-tech people.
Every week we help thousands of people and their technology issues in our stores and their offices and homes all around the country. Then we bring that experience to the radio to help all of you.
We are the Data Doctors. Ken to my left, Brandon's empty chair today, and
not
me, Spanky, here to provide education and entertainment. We call it edutainment.
Hey, do you travel with a lot of technology? You may want to listen to our thoughts on the Surface Pro tablet.
Also, when is it time to update? Should you, if everything's working okay?
And you've cut the cord.
Are you choked up?
Yeah. You've cut the cord on cable or satellite, but what's our suggestion for unplugging the phone?
Better answers than the guys overseas. Or Uncle Jim's nerdy son.
It's the Data Doctors radio program.
It's the tech show.
The tech show for non-tech people.
Pardon moi.
You were a little choked up.
It's like just out of nowhere.
It's okay. That happens. It's radio. You know, what can you do? You're only human.
I'm so choked up over this next segment.
You're a little verklempt. So if you are a business traveler.
Forget business traveler.
Well, hold on. Why forget business traveler?
It's not about a business traveler.
But business travelers do this too. Mostly.
If you travel.
Yes.
With a laptop.
Yes.
And a tablet.
Okay.
That's more succinct.
My people have traveled with tablets for years. That's all I'm saying.
Shalom.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, if you travel with a laptop, and you know how heavy laptops can be, and you have a tablet, whether it's an iPad, a Kindle, a Nexus, whatever, you know what a pain in the butt it can be to travel with multiple devices.
And if you have a laptop, you have what those power bricks, right? The converter.
That's right.
That adds another
huge
couple pounds in some cases.
So earlier in the week, before the release of the Microsoft Surface Pro,
It's Microsoft Windows 8. Microsoft Surface Windows 8 Pro.
Okay, we're just going to call. We're just going to call it the Surface Pro.
Yeah.
The Surface Pro tablet. We got to actually go play with one, touch one, feel one, smell one, and understand what this new device is, what it isn't, and why you might want to look at one of these.
And when the Surface RT, the original Surface tablet, came out, if you've been listening to the show, you know we went out and got one because we thought, well, this could be really interesting. In my case, I have an iPad, but iPads are really awesome at entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Not so great on the productivity side, even though I've got a Bluetooth keyboard. And I mean, can I be productive? Yes.
You can force it into productivity.
Yes.
But it's ultimately more of a convenience for entertainment.
Very light productivity.
Yes.
Painful to type on because it's not wide enough to have a wide keyboard. And so you only have one shift key. And I mean, it's not the greatest. So it sounded like to me the Windows RT Surface, the Surface RT.
The original Surface tablet.
Surface Windows RT tablet.
Let's not confuse everyone listening.
Anyway, that sounded like something that is more tuned to the way I travel with my tablet, which is I'm more on the productivity side and less on the entertainment side.
Sure.
The cool thing was it came preloaded with Microsoft Office, a special version for that platform. The bad thing is, unlike most Windows platforms, I can't install my regular Windows programs on the RT version because it is a proprietary version of Windows that you have to buy the apps through the App Store.
So fast forward to today, the day that they are actually allowing people to buy the Surface Pro tablets, the release day. This is a different device. This is a computer that is a tablet. It's the convenience of a tablet and the functionality of a computer all bundled up into one. And, you know, when you look at this thing at first glance, you go, wow, this is pretty awesome device. It's even more awesome when you realize that you can install the software you currently own. It is
it's like a regular
Windows
laptop.
Computer.
So it's a Windows. It's got the power of a Windows laptop, but it's in more of a tablet format with this detachable keyboard system, right? So that you can make it a tablet, or you can just snap on the cover, which is also a keyboard, to make it more like a laptop. Cool little kickstand. Minor thing that's huge, especially like you're sitting on airplanes and you want to, if you have an iPad, you got to either have a special case that does that, or you got to figure out how to prop the thing up or whatever if you don't have it in a case. This has got a nice little kickstand. Beautifully made, great display. The Pro version, the Surface Pro, has a much nicer display than the RT did.
Mm-hmm.
It has more storage capability, right? So, but these are devices that are, they're 64 and 128 gigabytes with an additional 64 gig that you can add, okay? So if you're a hardcore video picture and you store all that stuff on your device, it's real easy to see how you might fill something like this up. If you live a lot of your life in the cloud these days, especially with your multimedia content, video especially,
because
that's going to chew up the most space on your system. Then I mean, that's where it differs from a traditional laptop. But because it's an SSD, because it's not an old-fashioned hard drive, it's super fast. It's like instant on.
Yep.
It's instant off. It is from a, you know, if you're going to do a speed test between it and a regular laptop, it's going to kill it.
But can we talk about the drawback, the one drawback?
And one? There's probably more than one.
But the one that really got me, because I'm a long, when I travel, I like to use my devices for hours. The battery life on this thing only lasts about four hours of use.
It depends on what you're doing with it. But yeah, you can choke this thing down pretty quick because it's got a real i5 processor in it.
Right. And no, so for those of you who don't understand i5 processors, you hear these i5, i7, an i5 processor, you find those in laptops, okay?
So big boys.
When we say that this thing is the power of a laptop, it is. It's a computer that is the form function of a tablet. Love the magnetic keyboard. I love the keyboard that just clicks in. I love that it has a stylus. OCR, occupational, Optical character recognition.
Occupational character recognition.
My brain just went south. You can write on this thing and it understands your scribble.
That's called handwriting recognition.
Thank you. OCR, isn't it?
Oh, no, OCR.
No, that's optical.
Optical character recognition. That's totally different.
You know what I was saying.
Dumb Mac people.
Thank you. Anyway, it was very cool. You could write on it, and even in your doctor's script, you can...
That was very impressive, because I was looking at, he was demoing the thing, and it's like, your handwriting's just as bad as mine, and then bling!
Bling, and it said, welcome, Data Doctors.
Like, wow. That was pretty awesome.
Pretty, pretty slick.
So, now, is it for you? Hard to say. I tell you what, though, if you travel a lot, and you have this big, heavy laptop and a tablet, and you're looking to lighten the load, check this thing out. It's pretty interesting.
Sit tight. We'll be back in just a couple here on the Data Doctors radio program. Hey, it's the Data Doctors.
Hey, lots of you come to our stores when you have computer problems.
Many of you rely on our award-winning Data Doctors in-home service, where our Data Doctor comes to you. Yeah, house calls.
Some of you take advantage of Data Doctors remote repair, so we fix your problem right over the internet.
But did you know that we can help your office, too?
That's right. Whether your office has 20 or 200 computers, Data Doctors Business Services takes the pain of managing your office technology away.
Instead of using the Band-Aid approach to your office technology, put the experience of Data Doctors Business Services team to work for you.
You'll be amazed at how much more you can get done when you're not trying to run a business and your IT department.
Go to datadoctors.com and let us take away the pain.
In store.
At home.
Over the internet.
In your office.
What are you waiting for? Go to datadoctors.com right now.
Like he said, go to datadoctors.com and get ready to experience award-winning service.
Data Doctors. Since 1988, we're the tech guys for non-tech people.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you like listening to us, and why wouldn't you?
Because we are fabulous.
And you want to hear us after April 1st, you need to head on over to datadoctors.com/radio now. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher so that you can continue to get this goodness whenever you want it. The Data Doctors radio program is growing its digital footprint. We're moving off the traditional airwaves and going forward into the future. So check it out. We got about 8 more weeks. We're going to go all digital. For sure.
Are you confused about something tech?
Ha, you didn't hear it from us.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
The Data Doctors radio program.
It's the Data Doctors radio program.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
The portion of the show that we bring you a portion of the vernacular that we call...
Geek Speak of the Week.
Yeah, for those of you that don't understand the whispering guy over there. It is the Geek Speak of the Week, where we bring you the definition...
Geek Speak of the Week.
...of something that you may be hearing this week, especially this week.
Especially this
you
week.
You probably heard the term malware.
Malware, the secret
and
word is.
I made the assumption that, okay, people know what malware is. The number one question I got from media.
What's malware?
All week.
What's malware?
What exactly is malware? So here's... Malware is just a basically... It's an umbrella term for all malicious software. And the reason why they call it malware now is that we used to call it... We start out by calling it viruses.
Yep.
Right? The virus. A virus is a specific type of malware. And then you'd hear reports in the media about a Trojan. And people go, Trojan? And then there were worms, which are actually viruses that can spread on their own, right? These are all these technical differences in all these different malicious programs.
Right.
Most of the threats today, most of the exploits, most of the scams that are going to try to get you use a blended threat approach. In other words, partially a virus, partially a worm, partially a Trojan. They blend that, which is why it's so difficult to escape all this stuff these days, and once you get it, it's really hard to get rid of because there's all this stuff. Oh, I didn't even mention rootkits. There's another form of malware. So whenever you hear malware, it's a generic term for all of that malicious stuff that's going on, so you don't have to try to figure out, is it a worm? It doesn't matter. It's malicious software. That's all you should care about. Malware, bad.
Malware.
Fire, good.
And speaking of malware, throughout the program today, we've been talking to you about tax season. It's the start of tax season. And whether you know for sure if your computer is safe to start your taxes. So earlier, we told you about the behaviors that lead to malware. We told you about some of the potential symptoms you might be seeing. Startup takes forever, shutdown takes forever, freezes, crashes, things like that.
But how about we give them the ultimate way to figure out, should I be concerned or not?
And what is that?
quality you can afford right here. This is come close to the transmitters.
Pull yourself closer to the radio. As Ron Wolfley would say, press the ear to the transistor.
Or stick that earbud in even deeper. This is about to get good.
Go ahead.
You Windows people can do a quick self-check of your computer. Not a very technical process to do. All of you can do this. So go ahead. Walk over to your computer. I'll wait for you. All right. What you want to do is start by basically rebooting the computer. You want a fresh boot so that you know nothing. You have not started any programs. You're not running anything, right? So you want to make sure that it's a clean boot. When it's finished starting up, and if it's taken a long time, you're already in that, I should probably
just start taking notes.
Yeah. Right-click on the taskbar. That's that little bar at the bottom in all versions of Windows. And click on the Task Manager option. This will open up this crazy-looking window. And it could be on any number of tabs up there. But what you want to do is look in the bottom left-hand corner. Now, this is after your computer's restarted, sitting idle. Nothing should be going on. You want to look in the bottom left-hand corner of the Task Manager for the number of processes that are running. This tells you how many things are loading up when Windows starts and how many things are running right this moment. In most cases, 45 to 50 is okay. The lower the better, okay? And so a well-maintained computer is going to be in that 45 to 50 range, regardless of the operating system. If it's an older one like Windows XP, should be down more like 35, right? 35 to 40. Laptops, 40 to 45, that kind of thing. If your processes, remember, you just started. You haven't turned on any programs. You haven't started any. If your processes are 60, 70, 80, and you haven't even started using anything yet, that's 20 or 30 or 40 processes that don't need to be there. That's an indication, okay, you, one way or the other, first of all, that's why it takes forever to start up.
Right.
It's got to load 80 processes every time you start your computer. That's exactly why it's taking so long. The concern is, of those 40 extra processes, 35, whatever it is, are any of them malicious? And there's no way to tell you how to figure that out because you were talking about so many different variables. Another thing you can do to see, should I be concerned? Remember I was talking about in the last segment, we talked about activity going on and you're not doing anything. Remember, you're still at the point where you haven't started any programs. The only program running is the Task Manager. Click over to the Performance tab of the Task Manager and take a look at those little graphs that come up.
Yeah, it's a little bar graph and it'll show you activity. It almost looks like you would see in a hospital if you were on a heart monitor.
So the top section will have 1, 2, 4, however many cores your processor has. It'll have little windows with these lines jumping up and down. And over to the left, it'll kind of give you what the average is. You should be idling, right? If that thing's jumping around, like one of the reporters I was talking to last week, he goes, that thing's always like at 30% when I'm not doing anything. It's like, danger, Will Robinson, danger. That means something's running in the background all the time.
Right.
It's taking one-third of your horsepower away from you. Your car engine is idling at 2,000 RPM before you even start to use it. That's not good. This is an indication that you need to have this thing looked at. There's no quick and dirty answer on, well, what do I do? Unfortunately, we're trying to give you the capability of looking at this and doing a quick check on your computer and saying, you know what? It's idling nice and low. The processes are in the 40, 45, 50 range, and my computer starts nice. I should feel pretty good about this. I've updated my antivirus software. I've done all those things. But if any of these indicators are out there, take it to whoever you trust to have them look at why this thing has all these extra processes and make sure none of them are malware. I mean, it's somebody that understands how to diagnose all that has to look at this stuff. So if you don't have anybody you trust, we do free security checks at Data Doctors, any store in the country, anytime you want, take it in, say, check it out. We'll call it our 10-15 easy check. It takes 10 to 15 minutes. It's really easy, and we'll check to see if you should be concerned.
Right after the break, a virus that demands ransom.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you love the tips, tricks, warnings, how-tos, and all the fun that we have here on the radio, you'll love that we can deliver more of it right into your inbox. Just subscribe to our weekly newsletter at datadoctors.com/radio. Look at that little newsletter box. You know the drill. Sign up. Check it out. Business owners, check out the monthly BizTech newsletter as well.
I hope they have more fun than I do.
Bada bing.
The first rule of technology, restart it.
Rule two, ask us at facebook.com/datadoctors.
We don't read our answers from a script.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
It's the tech show for non-tech people. The Data Doctors radio program.
Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
This is the time in the show each and every week where we take one of your questions, which becomes the national column, which is circulated all over the world and becomes our help.
Help!
Help!
Help me, Rhonda.
And by the way, if you have friends in other cities, let them know to subscribe to us digitally and subscribe to our newsletter and follow our goodness everywhere, universally, because we give you lots of good information.
Every week.
Chris said, I heard rumors that there are viruses that can take over your computer and demand a ransom to allow you back in. Can this really happen?
Oh, boy, can it.
You know, most of today's program has been talking about stuff just like this.
Yeah, we didn't have in there the second part of that question is, if this happens, should I pay? No.
Do not pass go.
No.
Do not pull out your card.
There is no honor among thieves.
At all.
No. And in fact, this ransomware situation, it started years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of benign. Most of them kind of tricked you into thinking you were locked out, but if you knew anything about it, you could kind of just go around the back door.
Circumvent it, yeah.
The first generation, first three or four generations of the current ransomware, a lot of people called it the FBI virus because it popped up a very scary-looking pronouncement that claimed to be from the FBI saying...
It looked pretty legit, too.
This machine has been... detected in surfing or downloading copyrighted material or child pornography or whatever, right. ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, to avoid prosecution, pay the fine, you know. So people weren't thinking that some hacker was trying to hold them for ransom. They were thinking, oh, my goodness, I need the FBI is going to bust me if I don't pay this fine.
Yeah. By the way, for those of you who don't know this, if you did something illegally and you were busted, you would not be able to buy your way out of that.
Wrong country.
Yes.
So that's actually now turned into not the FBI virus, because there's lots of those, but there's the Department of Defense, there's the police department, there's all kinds of variations of the ransomware. It is absolutely, yes, it is happening. Unfortunately, the means to which you could basically reverse this used to be fairly straightforward and used to be something that, if you had a medium level of technology awareness, you probably figured it out. So what's happened, though, is that the bad guys that write this stuff saw all those people that were posting, here's how you undo this virus. And they said, oh, yeah.
We'll show you.
And so for those of you that are somewhat technical, you used to be able to go into safe mode and then clean the thing out. And when they saw everybody posting on the internet, hey, go into safe mode and here are the steps to cleaning it out, they said, we're going to basically disable safe mode.
Right.
On the next version, right? So it's a cat and mouse game. About 60%, 80% of the things that you see on the internet, depending upon which versions, right? There's 8 different variations that we've seen just in the last 6 months. And they're all completely different on what they do and what you have to do to get rid of them. But chances are you're going to find a lot of instructions out there on how to get rid of them that the first step, go to safe mode, won't work. And all the other... So this is one of those things. A, do not ever pay the ransom. Unfortunately, we've got people that we're helping in our stores, one in particular that basically gave them the debit card to make the payment, and they cleaned them out. $7,000 right out of the account. Do not ever pay these ransoms. The likelihood of you getting your stuff back is very low. These people are not honorable. This is not legitimate stuff. Watch that. The other thing is you're going to have to get somebody you trust that understands technology, understands the Windows platform, understands how to basically open up the hood, get underneath. This is not some weekend warrior you know, I'm going to just do a little cleanup on my computer. This is a lot more complex. So make sure you get with somebody you trust. The other thing is the fact that you got this probably means you have a lot of security lapses as well. So have them do a complete security check of your computer. All of the different things that potentially could allow this in. I'm talking Java. I'm talking all the Adobe products.
Adobe, sure.
Obviously, operating system, Windows patches. Make sure your antivirus and anti-malware programs are all up to date. All that stuff's got to be checked. Because the fact that you got it means you probably didn't update something in time, and that's one of the reasons that they got in.
So there. And
all the instructions and or all the discussion about this posted at datadoctors.com/radio.
Hey, Les said, you know, I'm thinking about getting rid of my phone service and going to a network service like Straight Talk or Vonage. Any suggestions from you guys? I trust what you say.
Uma.
You know, it's funny. Timing is great on this. You know, so in my house, we recently cut the cord from cable and satellite. And the next thing to go is our home phone service because we're paying for this thing that just sits on the counter. And it hardly gets used. Uma, OOMA.com.
Is one of our favorites.
Yes, you buy. It's a one-time purchase of a device. I think the device is like $170-something, $180. And your phone calls are free. And the voice quality, fantastic.
Yeah, unlike Vonage where there's an ongoing
right. And there's
expense.
And it is connected to the 911 service. You just have to keep your home address information updated. And if you ever had an emergency, it's all good.
Hey, when we come back, try to go to one website, but your browser wants to go somewhere else. What's going on?
And can you run two protective programs at the same time, or are they going to fight each other? It's coming up on the Data Doctors Radio program. Here we go again. The Department of Homeland Security is warning us about another major vulnerability. This time, they want you to turn off UPnP, Universal Plug and Play.
So, how do you do it? And how will it impact your computer usage? These questions can only be answered by someone that understands your computer and how you use it.
You need someone you can trust to help you navigate all these ongoing security problems. If you don't have someone you can trust, let Data Doctors help you.
Bring your computer into Data Doctors, and we can do a free computer security checkup while you wait. And if everything looks good, we can install a program that allows you to turn UPnP on and off at will.
If you haven't had your computer checked out in a while, it's time. The ability for bad guys to silently control your computer is greater than ever, and they're counting on you to do nothing.
Don't let the bad guys win. Bring your computer into Data Doctors now for that free computer security checkup and get peace of mind. Find the Data Doctors location nearest you. Go to datadoctors.com and schedule your free computer security checkup today.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Quick program reminder, the Data Doctors radio program, we're packing our boxes, we're moving on up and out. April 1st, we're going all digital. That means the station you're hearing us on right now, yeah, you won't be hearing us there anymore. If you're not connected to the digital version of the Data Doctors radio program yet, you should be.
It's easy cheesy.
Very easy. Go to datadoctors.com/radio, subscribe to our digital version.
You know you're old school if the phrase mouth balls does Sorry. You know you're old school if the phrase mouse balls doesn't make you giggle. I'm sorry, that's making me giggle.
It's the tech show for non-tech
people. It's the tech show for non-tech people. The Data Doctors radio program.
Facebook.com/Data Doctors. That's a place you can ask your question.
You know what the most common questions we get on our Facebook.com/Data Doctors page is?
Is Spanky as sexy?
No, not even
and
close.
And Adonis
not
as...
Not even close.
No?
Questions about Facebook.
A lot of those.
Which is good, because
that's second only to is am I.
So what's great about questions about Facebook on our Facebook page is that everybody that's on our Facebook page cares about the question about Facebook because it, in fact, impacts everyone that's on
Facebook.
Cool, huh?
So if you give a Facebook.
Okay.
Debbie wanted to know.
Don't be a copy-paste zombie.
If you already answered this question, I don't know if you have or not. I just came across this on Facebook. Is it true? And the question basically isn't a question. It's a rehash of a statement.
Warning! Facebook has changed their privacy settings once more due to the new Graph app, which doesn't even exist. Anyone on Facebook, including other countries, can see your pictures, likes, and comments. So the first so anytime you're going to ask us a question about is this true, if the warning is in all caps, that's already...
Red flag.
It's already an indication that it's probably not true.
Not true.
Right? That's just not normal. There is no such thing as a graph app.
It's graph search, and it's not available to everyone yet.
And so this warning is completely wrong in so many different areas, but it's rooted in something that is actually something you should be concerned about, which is in the past, it was a little hard for friends of friends to see things, especially from your past.
Right.
Yeah, whatever. That was a long time ago. I don't have to worry about it. It was nearly impossible for them unless they're going to go weeding through manually, looking through all your old stuff. But now that the graph app, excuse me, graph search.
You said it too.
You tricked me, Deb. Now that this graph search is starting to roll out, things that you did 2 years ago are suddenly very accessible. And if your settings are friends of friends, and so all of that, these discussions we've had over and over again about understanding how your privacy settings impact who can see what, you got to continue to be diligent on that. And especially now that this new tool that allows the stuff you did a long time ago to be easily brought up, yeah, it does make sense to go in and double check all your privacy settings.
Now, if you live on a smartphone, and a lot of our younger audience does, you guys know how to navigate and get into things and pretty easily. But for listeners who don't have a smartphone, who use Facebook on the computer, just take a couple of minutes to get into Facebook. And in the upper right-hand corner next to your name on Facebook, once you've logged in, you'll see this little, it looks like a sprocket. Click on that.
Did you say sprocket?
Sprocket.
Not socket.
No, okay. Sprocket. Click on that, and that will give you the options to get into your ads, your apps, your account settings, and go into your account settings. And in account settings, you'll have general security, privacy. Go through those, and if you have questions, they have tutorials on, what does this mean? How should I set this? And it has become clearer and clearer. Since Facebook's become a public company, one of the things that they have to do very, very clearly is explain to people, hey, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. Here's the result. So spend a little time. If you took 5 minutes and went through your Facebook settings, you will be better off for it when Graph Search comes out.
And you know what? If you're intimidated by that, we've got a link we posted up that basically walks you through some of the things that you know, just the basic security steps that you should be taking in Facebook at all times. So check that out at datadoctors.com/radio.
You mean Facebook.com? No, yeah, datadoctors.com/radio.
Yeah, the link to the Facebook.
That's right. Info. We've been talking about Facebook so much, I'm lost in Facebook. Ted wanted to know, hey guys, I'm running Webroot spyware. Should I turn off Windows Defender? Windows Defender. Is it time to renew Webroot since I haven't renewed it in a while? Is Webroot still good for anti-spyware, or do I need to look at another product right now?
So let's talk about the first two different things. Let's forget about the names of the products for a moment. When it comes to security software like antivirus, anti-malware, that kind of thing, you only want to have one program. You only want one bouncer at the door. Because if you have two, they fight each other because they're not really well-behaved. Now, two antivirus programs will see each other as potential threats. And so you'll slow the machine down and, I mean, all those things. So you really want to stick to one package that kind of does your internet security for you for the best results. We currently install Trend Micro's titanium package for our customers, primarily because of all of the parameters that we use that we feel. And we used to use Webroot. Webroot is a good product.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that some things that Trend was doing, really, it was really interesting because they were leading the pack in cloud-based detection. It gets real technical, but they basically just recently got held up as one of the best by one of the big technical overviews of all the antivirus programs. And it was because they're using this newer kind of technology so that you don't have to rely solely on just downloading the latest definitions, the latest updates to the antivirus. They have other ways of protecting you because they have you're connected to the cloud, and the cloud helps you avoid some of the junk that's floating around out there, bad websites, and I mean all that stuff. So if you're looking for our recommendation on a product, we like the Trend Micro product right now. This will change down the road, likely. It's changed over the last 25 years only because we're always looking at, is this the best protection, and does it not nag you. We'd hate Nagware, those programs that pop up and go, don't you want this other product and want this? We hate that. That's why we threw a lot of the other big companies out, like Norton, McAfee.
You're listening to The Tech Show for non-tech people, the Data Doctors radio program. Ask us your questions even when we're not on the air. Facebook.com/Data Doctors.
And remember, we deal with technology problems for a living. We're experts at this stuff, so we can help you in our stores, in your home, at your business. We can even remote right in over the internet and fix your problems.
You like the program? Let your friends around the country know. They too can listen, laugh, and learn. We can be heard worldwide on Stitcher Radio.
If you missed any of the links or the info we gave in the past couple of hours, find everything at datadoctors.com/radio.
Get all your tech answers in English at datadoctors.com/radio.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.